What's up, y'all? Welcome to Procurement Founders 10-Year Talks, 15-minute podcast interviewing battle-tested procurement supply chain professionals who have the scars to prove it. We ask the same five questions every week, providing you with chewable bits of expertise. I'm your host, Katie McEwen, the Procurement Girl, representing BuyerQuest, the most user-friendly procurement solution in the world. 10-Year Talk streams live every Friday on LinkedIn and is available anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm excited to introduce you to our rockstar guest today, Joanna Martinez. She has over 20 years of experience in procurement supply chain. She's an author, a renowned speaker, and influencer. If you're looking to transform and optimize your organization during turbulent times, she's your girl. I'm a little starstruck, Joanna, just to be able to talk to you today. So thank you so much for joining the show. And forgive me if I act a little nervous, but you've made quite the impact on the space, and I'm just really excited to have you here. So thank you so much. I'd love to hear about what you've been working on this year and a little bit about what your focus is right now.
Wow, that's a great setup, Katie. I love battle-tested, battle-worn. That is a wonderful description. I stopped working as a CPO 4 years ago and decided that before my career ended, I would dabble in the space of working independently. So what I'm doing now is a lot of speaking, and there has still been a lot of speaking opportunities, although they are virtual now, of course, instead of in person. So I do a lot of speaking and writing, a bit of consulting, and my big COVID project has been with online learning. I developed, based on feedback I got as I gave talks, I have developed online learning on digital disruption. And that's gonna go live, I hope, at the end of next week. So I'm very excited about that, yes. The working title right now is The World of Digital Disruption. We'll see if that continues, but that we're in the final stages of putting it together.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's exciting. So how can we learn more about this and how do we gain access?
You know, the best way is to just connect with me on LinkedIn. You know, you and I are already connected, I know, but anyone else who's listening and is interested, we're just, as I said, putting the final touches. So the name may change in the next couple of days before we go live, but that's the working title, World of Disruption. And this particular segment is going to be on digital disruption. I have so many ideas that I had to sit down and really lay out an outline and say, okay, I have a book called Positive Disruption. So I'll have a segment on the book. I've got this piece on digital disruption, and the ideas keep flowing. So I'm sure there will be more coming.
Yes. I'm so excited about that. That's going to be so helpful, especially right now with everything that's going on. So that's amazing. So Joanna, tell me about that one person in your life, that mentor or teacher or coach even, that really inspired your road to success.
So his name is Brian McGrath, and he was the CPO for the consumer business at Johnson & Johnson when I worked at J&J. And he wanted to move to mergers and acquisitions and did not have a successor. And so I was given the opportunity to go and work under him with the ultimate objective of getting his job when he moved to his new role, understanding that it would take years, that it wasn't going to be a fast thing, but that I would have the opportunity to learn from the best. And two things I learned from Brian. One is negotiate the hard stuff first. That it's really easy at the beginning of a relationship or the beginning of a contract to lay out, you know, how our price change is going to take place, what are the SLAs and all of that. But it's not easy to have those hard conversations about what if this goes south? What if there's a change in strategy, something happens and we don't go forward with this? How do we decouple it? And I remember going into Brian with what I thought was a brilliant agreement, and he handed it back and said, you didn't negotiate any of the hard stuff, and he was right. Mm-hmm. So that was number one. Number two was, you'll be yourself. You don't have to be mean, right? People come in all the time, and they're selling you, and they want you to buy from them and all that. And some people, as they get higher levels in the organization, get mean. And if mean, I've seen mean work for people. But for most people, it doesn't. It's not by their nature. And be yourself. I will tell you that Brian had such a sense of humor that he had a plastic dog bone in his taped underneath his desk. Actually, it was under his conference room table. And when you pressed a button, it barked. And during tense negotiations, I saw him more than once press the button, and everybody would stop and go, "Where's that dog?" And it would kind of diffuse things. It was a great way to diffuse things. And, you know, although not many of us have that crazy a sense of humor, nice works. It's not, nice is not weak. If you are inherently a kind, good, nice person, you know, employ that and develop that and make that you, and don't worry about people taking advantage of you. They won't.
I love that. You don't have to be mean to negotiate.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, because I do. I think innately we feel like we have to put our tough game face on and be mean. But you're right. Kindness, yeah, that's a lot harder to do in a negotiation.
He said to me, he goes, "I know I'm really successful and they all think I'm a tiger. They all think I go and rip them to shreds." He goes, "I never do that. So don't wait for me." Because I actually thought that too. I thought I was going to learn how to like pounce and growl and, you know, tear things apart. He goes, "I never do that." So
That's amazing. Oh, I'm so glad that you shared that. That's excellent. So what would you say, based on all your experiences, probably the most innovative thing you've seen in the last 12 months coming out of procurement supply chain?
Well, up until COVID, it was artificial intelligence. So I'm an engineer by profession. So all of this digitization, I just love. And, you know, the way AI is getting embedded in all of these point solutions to make the analytics process much more profound and much more insightful, and, you know, being able to dig deeper and look at more components. The act of working in procurement and supply chain is getting, you're able to come up with deeper, better, richer solutions as a result. Of course, since the lockdown started, innovation is everywhere. I can't believe how it has been a funnel, right? So you've all these businesses licensing the Amazon technology so that people can just grab and go and walk out and you know, get billed for what they've purchased. You have drones doing delivery. You have you know, other kinds of technology that was just in its infancy now being pushed forward and used much more broadly, I think, than there would have been, because there's all of this COVID-related demand. I actually read the other day, in fact, I'm going to try this during the month of September, about a museum in Cold Spring, New York, that has reopened with wearables that beep when you're within 6 feet of someone else with that on. And so there's only a handful of museums in the world that have done that. But for those of us who are missing that cultural experience, think of how that idea can get duplicated and the number of places it could be used, and how we can maybe use that kind of thinking as an open door, as a way to open the door back to the rich lives that we used to lead.
Absolutely.
Isn't that cool?
That is so cool. And you know, you can only imagine these organizations, all these companies are going to have to do something like that if they want to open. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're almost forced to innovate right now, which is kind of an awesome thing.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's unbelievable. So the suit will beep when you're too close to someone else.
Yes, it's actually a little tag that you wear. You know, they give you like a lanyard with a tag. And if you're within a 6 foot, you know, and they have, of course, manage the number of people that they allow in, so they're not causing beeps going crazy. But when you get too close, it evidently sends a signal to let you know that you're too close.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's some extreme innovation right there. Yeah. That's great. So Joanna, tell us one unique thing about you that maybe a lot of people in this space don't know about you.
Well, I am, anyone who knows me knows that I'm very awkward. I trip, I kind of deep down inside would like somebody once before I die to label me as graceful, but it is likely that that's not going to happen. I don't even dance well, but I am a really good scuba diver.
Wow.
And I take great delight in getting on a dive ship. And immediately, if you've been diving enough, you know, they immediately kind of group you into groups of people. And I always, my husband and I actually both, always get put with the beginners. They always assume that we stink. And we just go along with it. We never argue. We just go in the water. And the last dive experience I had, we outlasted all of the other divers, including the dive master, who had to get out and come back down and send somebody else back down with the tank. It's the only sport I can do, other than I play a mean game of Rummy Cube. That's about it. Those two things, and I'm done.
So where do you usually dive? Where is the air, the ocean that you usually go into?
Well, you know, I try to avoid real roughness. I mean, I've done the Pacific Ocean, but boy, that's a hard place. You're getting knocked around and you're throwing up over the side of the dive boat. So I go for gentler kinds of things now. So a lot in the Caribbean, but opportunities present themselves at various times, and you know, you try to take them when you can.
Yeah. Any shark attacks?
No shark attacks. I had been diving where there had been sharks. And actually, I was once on a dive trip where at the end of the dive master handed me a shark's tooth. And he said, I just thought of this one. He said, you know, when we go out, we always vote amongst ourselves, trying to decide which diver will really stink. And he said, you know, we voted you and you didn't stink. So I found this, and like, what do you do when somebody says that? Do you say thank you? I want to take it. Scratch a J, you know, on his arm with or on his tank with that shark tooth. But he said, I found this on the bottom of the ocean floor. So you know, I thought I should give it to you as a reward for not being the worst.
So, I mean, that's like the worst compliment. That's awful. Well, you're obviously a more than expected woman, and a lot of people don't really probably know or what to expect from you, and you probably leave a lot of people surprised. So keep collecting those shark teeth, because I'm sure you're just going to get more. So what's one piece of advice that you would give to folks that are wanting to claw up the ranks and maybe realize some of the success that you've seen?
So two things. First one is, a good idea is a good idea forever. If you see something that you think needs changing, write it down. If your boss won't go along with it, if your company finances are such that they can't implement it, keep it in your hip pocket, because sooner or later, conditions are going to change. I've seen it happen time and time again, that you know, those things that people say when they say, oh, that's wrong, or I could do this better, eventually will work out if you're tenacious. The second thing, though, is actually another dive story. And this is a Bermuda dive story a couple of 18 months ago. We are diving and we're on our way to a wreck, and it's a sandy bottom. There's just a few grasses here and there, nothing else but sand. And there, in the midst of all of this, is the biggest conch shell I've ever seen. It was huge compared to, you know, you usually see these little things. It was pretty massive. So I go down to look closer. There's one tiny little fish kind of floating around. And when I get close to the conch shell, the fish bit me three times. Oh, and I looked at it and said, he bit me on the hand. I looked at it. Now, this fish was like no longer than my thumb. So of course he didn't inflict any damage other than the fact that I felt it. But I looked at him and said, you know, I'm 1,000 times bigger than you are. But you obviously don't want me to go anywhere near that shell. So for tenacity alone and for being willing to fight
for what you believe in, I'm going to go somewhere else. And I did. I didn't go anywhere near the show, anywhere nearer, and I just went away. And it dawned on me as I was kind of laughing and telling the story at night that that's a metaphor, I think, for some of the situations we're in the workplace. Some of us see ourselves as big fish in whatever pond you're swimming in, and you can go and you can make things happen and you're empowered. And some people perceive themselves as little fish in their pond, and maybe are afraid to go forward or are afraid to be leaders. The reality is, even the little fish can make a difference.
I love that. I love that. And because that fish was so persistent.
Three times. I felt this little thing and I go, what's that? And then I look at this thing, it's like just biting and biting.
And when you're a little fish, you don't want to persist. You want to just, you know, you don't, because you're afraid, because you're insecure, because you're the little fish. Oh, that's a beautiful analogy. Yeah, you just got to keep biting. You just got to keep biting the big fish until you get your way. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Joanna, for joining the show today. It was an absolute pleasure getting to speak with you and learn from you and take some of the advice that you provided today. I hope that you go out there and have a very blessed week. Thank you so much to everyone who tuned in today. Happy Friday. Thank you all so much. And I hope to talk to y'all soon. Thanks, Joanna.
Thank you, Katie.